Even by Medicare standards, it was a breathtaking fraud scheme. Earlier this summer, a team of FBI and Health and Human Services agents completed a long investigation, snaring 301 people that were trying to bilk Medicare out of an estimated $900 million. Central to the anti-fraud effort was data analytics. Carol Brzmalkiewicz is the Chief Data Officer and Assistant Inspector General at HHS. She spoke with Tom Temin about how they used data to find the culprits.
So that's an interesting title that you have, Chief Data Officer and Assistant Inspector General, although when you think about it, they really go hand in hand, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. Everyone in the organization is using data. I've really come on board since April of last year to accelerate how the organization is using data, and my mission is really to provide more and better access to data and analytics for the whole OIG to enable work like this big takedown that just happened.
All right, let's talk about that. There is so much data generated in the daily business of Medicare and all of the providers and all the outgoing payments. How do you know where to begin? I mean, what data goes into the systems that you use to analyze to look for fraud in the first place?
Right. There's a lot of information about providers and beneficiaries and claims data. We leverage CMS's integrated data repository, their large data environment, to help us pull some information together and have, you know, real live access with real-time data to sift through that information to help us uncover where there might be suspicious patterns, right? Looking really for trends in the data to help us understand fraud trends.
Does it matter how big the data sets are? That is to say, do you select certain pieces of the data to collect and look at, or do you just look at it as one big blob?
That's a great question. So that environment is about a petabyte's worth of information. So if you think about your home computer, we're familiar with megabyte
We're up to terabytes now.
Yeah, we're up to terabytes and then petabytes, right? And so looking at all the information at one time, this is truly a big data environment. For some of our questions, we can really focus in on certain healthcare codes, certain geographic areas. For some of our evaluations, some of those reports that we're looking for, it's really the national trends. And so it really depends on what we're looking for and how we scope our either extract of the data or how we run our queries to really look at the information in that data.
Do you start with tips ever? I mean, do people maybe on the front lines at CMS saying, gee, we've paid this guy, you know, six times for this certain thing, which is out of bounds from what we usually see? Does that kind of thing maybe lead you to a possibility?
There are several ways that we can take action, and our data scientists, the folks that are on our advanced analytic team, work very closely with our investigators. So we talk about using data and analysis to support in one of two ways. One, in either kind of this reactive sense of what you're talking about, either we get a tip when we've collaborated with people at CMS or somebody from our Center for Program Integrity if they have noticed something. But also we have a hotline, and so we can get calls, too, from folks that are wanting to identify potential fraud that they're seeing in their local community, or our investigators have street intelligence about a particular fraud scheme that they're seeing because we have 1,600 people that are throughout the country, not just investigators, but our whole Office of Inspector General. So if people see something, we can really bounce that idea or that potential scheme against the data very quickly. That's kind of when I say reactive, that's how I think about it. But the other sense, too, is we're really trying to look at the trends to predict future behavior potentially. And what it really means is we're providing risk scores. We're generating models to say we might want to have some additional scrutiny for certain providers because we think that they might, it kind of looks like it's that aberrant behavior. You know, why are they? There's an example, a recent case where a physician had home health rather than the normal, the average for a physician is like 100 patients per month that they were referring to home health, and he had like 10,000. He was definitely an outlier, and so we were able to find that in the data very quickly.
This case that recently came down with the FBI, the most recent one in June, 301 people, just give us a sense of how that whole thing started.
Right. So in that case, that really was an effort and a partnership with our strike forces and with our Office of Inspector General as a whole, knowing that we still had to focus on home health and other issues. And so really working with great collaboration with our partners in the Department of Justice, working with U.S. attorneys, working with state and local governments. There was a lot of effort. A lot of the cases were in places where we don't have a strike force in that area, but it was a very broad effort in terms of scope. And the data can help either neck down what are the priority cases we want to look at or really help inform. So we talk a lot about how the analytics and the data science team really works with the subject matter expertise, right? It's got to be that combination because the investigators so much. Sometimes the attorneys are seeing things too. There are a lot of folks now that I talk to that are really data natives, and they're looking for what are the trends, what are they seeing, what are the outliers, what's the context. And so data can really be used either when we're trying to create that affidavit, right, to put it into the search warrant that we think, hey, these claims just don't look right, and so there's a rich evidence base in that. The data can be used then when they, you know, our investigators are going to interview witnesses and say, here's what we're kind of seeing. Can you tell us about this? It can be used in a presentation to a grand jury. It can be used to figure out how big the claims loss actually was. So when it comes time for sentencing, that can be a part of where the data analytics supports the effort. So for this instance, what we talk about when I tell my team is, it's kind of great if we've put ourselves out of business from the analytic team in that we're also developing tools to help enable our investigators to answer their own questions. And CMS actually has some tools as well. So if investigators are able to answer their own questions quickly as they're working a case, that's really the exciting part about what we're trying to do.
We're speaking with Carol Brzmakowicz, Chief Data Officer and Assistant Inspector General at Health and Human Services. And you mentioned home care. Are there certain programmatic areas for Medicare that seem to breed more waste, fraud, and abuse of this type?
We have a lot of work across a lot of areas and many recommendations. So our website actually has all of our reports that we've already posted. I think from a data perspective, we're looking not just at home health, but across a full spectrum. You know, last year's takedown, we had focused in on prescription drugs. But there are a lot of areas, a lot of program vulnerabilities, and we really, when our reports identify those vulnerabilities, we're making recommendations about how do we make the program safer and how do we really protect our beneficiaries to make sure that the money's going to the intended beneficiary and the folks that need the care get the care they need.
Now, there have been cases where payments from CMS and I think other federal agencies go to places that turn out to be empty lots or post office boxes, and there are already readily available data sets that can show that kind of phenomenon. Do you also bring in external data source to mix in with your own, say geographic data, for example, that would help you investigate?
Right. So we're actually right now, I'm trying to expand our use of geospatial analytics. So you're absolutely right that there are data sets that we could show. I'm working very closely right with the Postal Service, if you think about all the richness of the data that they have. We have some geospatial tools already within our office, and we're trying to expand how we're using those and how we think about other enterprise solutions to really help in this regard. I also know that the Center for Program Integrity is also exploring how to accelerate their work with geospatial analytics, and part of our conversations, our ongoing conversations, is how do we, these smaller analytic communities that we have, how do we leverage the data to the best extent that we can to really try to pull these data sets together? Because a lot of the challenge in the data world, it's the nitty-gritty, how are you integrating? How do you map the information together? And from my perspective, too, we also have law enforcement-sensitive data. So when you think about that integration and aggregation and the overlaying all of that, we want to make sure that we get truly actionable information to our investigators.
And you mentioned the doctor with 10,000 patients, and so I imagine there's a preventative desire here to make sure that money doesn't go out to those people like that before you discover them, because it's harder to claw the money back than it is to prevent it from going out in the first place. Is there a time element that can be brought into these types of data analytics such that you can maybe find that person before they get to 10,000 bills to Medicare?
Right, that's a great question. And I think with CMS's fraud prevention system, I know that they're undergoing their second iteration of that. I believe it's, you know, the shorthand is FPS 2.0. And they're reworking some of their algorithms on the back end. But they've been open to conversations with us as well that if we see something, we can pass. If we think that there's an algorithm that needs to be put in place, we can have conversations to say, this looks like a broad trend. You know, how do we need to inject that into their system? So there is an open dialogue there. I will say, too, in this case of that, so this was Dr. Roy down in Texas for the case that I mentioned specifically. And so there's other references and other stories that have come out about him in particular. But really what we're trying to figure out is folks can be really smart about hiding in the data because there is a petabyte of data. It's a lot of data. And so how do we need to slice and dice it in unique ways to make sure that if we have, you know, these risk models that we're saying, this might be somebody we want to look at, we need to be able to sift through that very quickly to find those potential candidates where we can then open up an investigative case, or in a lot of cases, there's already an investigation underway, and then the data is just providing the additional evidence to support that.
It sounds like this is really, I would say, almost fun work, interesting work, not to take away from the seriousness of it, but it sounds like something that would really be transfixing day after day.
Oh, I think it's fascinating. And what I love about working here is that everybody is all in into this mission of fighting fraud, waste, and abuse. I am honored to work with the team that I have because they definitely are figuring out ways of how do you root out the fraud. And the sad part is that a lot of people are trying to take advantage of the program. So I'd love to say that we, you know, we would be put out of business as a whole, that this wouldn't be a problem, but people were really trying to take advantage. And so we're trying to stay one step ahead and figure out what are the data and analytics, what are the tools, what are the other ways that we can visualize the data to try to get ahead of this. And I think in the evolution of our team, one of the things that's really made that, to your point about the time scale, how can we do this faster? It used to take weeks, months, and sometimes years to complete a report, or you know, an audit report or an evaluation, or sometimes it was really difficult to build a case because we didn't have the data at our fingertips. But what we're finding now, because we have direct access to real-time data, we're able to do things and answer questions in days, right, hours, days, and weeks, rather than that longer time scale, which is really, that is the fun and exciting part. Like, what more can we do with the data we have to really help support our whole office?